Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your presence. May we hear your voice and know your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A teenage boy had an unusual gift, a knack that he was known by all around the farming district in which he lived. While some were gifted at playing sport or public speaking or talking to girls, his ability was unusual. What the boy could do, unlike anybody else, was to find lost donkeys. When asked how he did this, the answer was simple. "I just figured out where I'd go if I was a jackass," he said, and there it was. It's a story I think of every time I hear this promise by Jesus to send the Holy Spirit, if only because I've been known to get lost more than once. It's a story I think that highlights something of how God is present to each of us, even through experiences of abandonment and loneliness. So today I'd like to listen to Jesus' speech through the lens of this struggle of struggling with loneliness, which seems particularly relevant at the moment as many of us feel that isolation is far from over. Whenever a parent or a partner dies or leaves us, it's easy to feel abandoned, cut off, and alone. When someone neglects us or rejects us, or when someone withdraws or is no longer present because of illness, we find ourselves feeling deeply alone. We can feel lost, left behind, or even discarded. The pain and the fear and the shame can so fill our hearts that there can be little room for anything else. Loneliness and abandonment are terrible experiences. It's easy to become disconnected from others and weary of letting anybody else get close. It's easy to blame ourselves and to think of all the things that we should have or could have or needed to have done differently. In the upstairs room with his disciples, Jesus could see hearts that were troubled and would be troubled by feelings of loneliness and abandonment. He could see the weight of shame and guilt that would fall and how all their security and trust would be thrown out. Jesus knew that by morning, his closest friends would be feeling like orphans, like kids left on the street, but he wasn't going to leave them that way. Many commentators skip over this turn of phrase, providing the barest definitions while avoiding all of its emotional freight. This is a great pity because Jesus and his friends lived in a world where being family was everything. Kids took on their parents' identity. If they were Jewish, you were Jewish. Kids took on the occupation and status of their parents. They would wear their honor and even their shame too. Parents would arrange marriages, and this way their kids would be given a future. So being an orphan wasn't simply a matter of being alone. Being like those found on the street meant having no identity, no heritage, and no future. They were not simply unwanted, but being an orphan meant that no one would ever want you. And so orphans easily found themselves becoming slaves, having the same worth of an animal without the capacity to control their own decisions. their own body or even what would happen to them in the future. But Jesus promises not to leave them that way. Even though Jesus would not be with them for much longer, he promises to send another one who would help. The word that Jesus uses here is paraclete. It literally means the one who stands alongside. Translators have tried to use all kinds of words to convey the identity of this person by what they do. Words like comforter, counselor, advocate, helper, encourager, and true friend are just some of the words that we find at this point. The idea is that this person will do for them what Jesus has done all along, helping them, strengthening them, and affirming them by his presence. But the friend does something more than just stand alongside them. Jesus promises that this friend will live within them and among them. This friend will help them to see Jesus and to understand his relationship with the Father. What Jesus offers them is not simply a friend, but a future with a family. The Spirit will incorporate them into the very family that is God. That friend will remodel them from the inside out, reforming their hearts so that they will be able to keep Jesus' commandments and so be loved by Jesus and the Father. It's at this point that a lot of Christians easily slip into legal jargon. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. These are not words of a judge who demands dogged compliance and conformity, but these are words of a true friend who asks that his students will emulate everything they see their teacher doing. A teacher who searches for the lost. A teacher who opens the eyes of the blind, who brings freedom to those in captivity, and someone who walks donkeys home. For anyone lost in the whirlwind of loneliness, these words can be hard to hear above all the noise of grief and loss and rejection. It can be hard to see what Jesus is talking about beyond the pain, despair, and darkness. Yet the true friend, the Holy Spirit, is the one who helps us to connect with our first friend, Jesus. He is the one who holds us in the storm, even when we lose our grip on everything around us. He is the one who leads us back to the place where we truly belong. God's family is not something marked by blood or by heritage, past glory or present shame. No, God's family is marked by our willingness to listen to what Jesus had to say and our willingness to do what Jesus did. This is a family oriented by the future. This is a family oriented by Jesus' simple commandment to love one another as I have loved you. Love opens up the future even when we can't, when we won't, or when we don't believe that anything better is possible. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps Jesus be with us among all the broken pieces of our lives. The Holy Spirit knows that our life won't go back to the way it was before, but something new can be made from those broken pieces when they are held together with love from the Father and the Son. I know that many among us struggle with feelings of abandonment and loneliness at this time. We might wonder, what can we do as God's family to help? Perhaps there are three things worth thinking about. The first thing might be to simply acknowledge how we feel, that it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to feel things and to express what we need. God knows what it's like to be alone and abandoned. Jesus experienced all of this hanging there upon the cross at Calvary. Perhaps the second thing we can do is to connect. To connect in small ways. God knows that it's embarrassing being alone. All our wounds and vulnerabilities and weaknesses seem magnified, larger than ever before. But you never have to do this alone. The Holy Spirit is within you. The Holy Spirit stands beside you. Finally, is perhaps the most difficult thing of all, to realize, to discover that we are a gift. Whatever caused you to feel the storm of loneliness, you are anything but an orphan. You are not a worthless problem or a project to be repaired, but you are a gift, something that is treasured by God. God has a habit, I think, of using mature manure piles to grow the best roses, because God's love brings life out of things that seem hopeless. God makes us a family. As Jesus said, those who keep my commandments are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. So let us walk in the way of love by acknowledging our loneliness, by finding ways to connect with others, and by discovering the gift that we are, the gift that the Holy Spirit has been given to us, and walk in the way of love. Amen.